died away. He closed his eyes and let the receding lights from the station flicker across his face. For years, Bohr had taken the last train home from the office. He always sat by a window and always at the far end of the last carriage, which left him with only a short distance to walk at the other end. Tonight was like any other in all respects but one. Bohr had been persuaded by a colleague to join a drinks party and had indulged in not one, but two large glasses of beer. There was a smile on his lips. His wife always said that he should be more adventurous, and now he had been, and it had passed off very well. His initial fears about the evening had been unfounded. In fact, it had been a pleasing little break from his routine, which normally saw him working straight through from supper. It was springtime, and they had been sitting like Parisians amidst the bustle of a square. Bohr was not drunk exactly, but relaxed and at peace with the world. The carriage was warm and gently vibrating. There was a soothing rhythmic knocking sound as it rolled along the tracks, and now and again sparks illuminated the railway cutting with a screech of grinding metal. He supposed drinking beer was not a real adventure, but it was as much as Bohr could do. He did not care for fun in the way that other people did, nor weekends and holidays with their bothersome expectations of pleasure. Bohr liked Monday mornings, and he liked the train. Not that he had to take public transport. He had done well for himself and could afford to drive a Mercedes to and from work. There was a parking space for each of the partners at the office, but Bohr preferred the train because it was predictable. Nothing stopped it haring through the dark as the people of the suburbs lay fast asleep. He liked the soft, warm seats, the way the plush upholstery tickled his fingers. There were other professional types on the train. Bohr nodded at them in a spirit of fraternity. Together, they kept watch over the drunks and other human detritus that washed up on the late-night service. They had to be tolerated, but Bohr knew that the train belonged to the likes of him, the people who kept the world spinning round. He watched as the train cleared the inner-city stops in fast succession, always a little uneasy when it rolled into a platform. You never knew who might step in. Besides, those stops were like an invitation, as if the train itself were tempting Bohr to step out and explore. He always looked at the ceiling, willing the carriage to start moving again. His late nights at the office suited both him and his wife. By the time he got home, she was fast asleep in the spare room that she had made her own. It was an orderly arrangement, protecting their two worlds from unpleasant collisions. And his wife was more than happy for him to take his time in the mornings. She rarely stirred before midday. The train was softly lit. In the window, Bohr saw the silhouettes of houses, posts, and fences passing across his reflection. The last passengers in his carriage got out at Hellerup. He could relax now until Helsingør. Bohr closed his eyes, feeling the train gently oscillating. The motion set him in mind of galloping across the plains of the Wild West, like the cowboys of his boyhood picture books. Within minutes he was fast asleep, cantering through a cartoon landscape of cacti and stone formations. Later, the first thing he became aware of was the cold. Then the utter silence. Before he opened his eyes, he felt a light on his face, which was odd, because it was completely dark all around him. It took Bohr some minutes to remember where he was. "Hello?" he said pointlessly, for it was plain that he was quite alone in the carriage. As his eyes got used to the gloom, Bohr saw trees and bushes outside the window next to him. He got up and walked over to the other window and saw more trees further away. He looked at his watch. He had been asleep for nearly an hour, so the train must have been to Helsingør already. He fumbled for his phone, grateful when his hand finally closed around the smooth pebble, but it had no power left. He always charged the phone before he left the office.